This message is a ministry of North River Church. Visit us online at gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word this morning, whether that is a physical copy of the Bible or a digital copy of the Bible, and make your way, first of all, to Matthew chapter 28. If you look at your handout, you realize that we've got a number of scripture passages that we're going to cover this morning, but here's the good thing, that they all are talking about the exact same thing. And we've been in the midst of a series, 4 weeks, called The Nuts and Bolts of What We Want You as a Believer here at North River Church to Do. So many times you may not understand or may not know exactly what we're asking of you, and we've been laying that out over the last number of weeks. And so if this is your first week, let me say to you that you can go back on our website and you can listen to those previous 3 weeks' worth of messages and find out what we believe God's called each and every one of us to do. We said the very first week that all of us are to worship. We're to worship the Lord. We're to gather together as the body of Christ and to worship. We realize that every single one of us is worshiping something or someone. It's just a matter of directing that worship to the only one who is deserving of that worship, and his name is Jesus. We said that we want every single person to grow. So we want every person to worship. We want every person to grow. We want you to be growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never started that relationship. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. That would be the beginning point. And then we want you to continue to grow. We don't want you to be stale. We don't want you to sit back and think, hey, I've got my fire insurance card. I'm not going to go to hell, so I'm good. I can just kind of lay out and not worry about the rest of it. Every single believer's call is to grow in their walk with the Lord. So we want you to worship. We want you to grow. We want you, last week, we talked about serve. Every single one of us, God has gifted us with the ability to do something. You sit back and you think, gosh, God couldn't use me. No, God uses every single one of us in some capacity to serve. And we want you to find that place of service, not only here at North River Church, but we want you to find that place of service in our community. We want you to find that place of service in your home and in your family. So every single believer, we want you to worship. We want you to grow. We want you to serve. And here's week four. We want you to go. We want you to go. That doesn't mean you get up and leave now, please. You're going to miss the message if you do that. But we want you to go. See, here's the thing. I'm a parent of 2 little girls, 8 and almost 6, which means around our house, things are pretty crazy most of the time. Do you ever, as a parent, feel like you are constantly repeating yourself? Can I get an amen? Right, you feel like you are constantly repeating yourself. Like you're saying over and over things that you never thought as a teenager or early married before you have kids that you would have thought you would have to say. You know, some of them are easy things, like you tell your kids over and over and over again that they need to clean up their room. You tell them over and over again you need to go brush your teeth. Unless you're Bradley, who doesn't want you, who's a dentist, doesn't want you to tell your kids to brush their teeth so he can stay in business. But see, here's the thing. I never in my wildest dreams thought, that's what happens when you sit on the front row, brother, never thought in my wildest dreams I would have to say to our girls, don't sit on your sister's head so many times. Never imagined that I would have to do that. But we repeat ourselves over and over. And you would think after saying it once, they would kind of catch the hint at least, you know, a couple of times. And you're thinking, you know, 3 strikes and you're out, right? And then you realize that you just continue over and over to repeat the same things. Now, here's what we're going to see this morning. Sometimes, for us as believers, we need to hear something more than once in God's Word. In fact, as we're going to see, the reason that we have five passages of Scripture that we're going to cover this morning is all five are talking about the exact same thing. We're looking at Jesus' last words to his disciples as he was getting ready to leave and ascend into heaven. We are seeing his last charge, his last command, his last commission for his disciples. And interestingly, in the Bible, it's recorded five times. We have it in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have it in the book of Acts five times. It's so important for us as believers that God purposefully put it in his word five times. So if you can imagine with me this morning, the Lord looking at us and saying, you need to hear this, not once, but five times. This is what your life is to be about. I want us to cover this morning these passages of Scripture, and it's going to take us just a little bit of time, and you're going to have to flip through a couple of pages to get there, but I want to read Jesus' last words to his disciples and to us before he left this planet. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, it says, Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go ahead and turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 14. When you have it, say, I got it. Y'all are fast. Mark chapter 16, for those of you that were a little bit slower getting there. There we go. Beginning in verse 14, it says, afterward he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of hearts, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Look with me at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. When you're there, say, I got it. Are y'all reading it on the screen? Cheaters. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 44, it says, then he, talking about Jesus, said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and after that, on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. Somebody still with me? Amen. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And then in case you haven't gotten the picture yet, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, it says this: "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Jesus' last words to his disciples were very simple: "Go and tell people what you've seen and what you've heard." It's pretty simple, right? Go and tell people what you've seen and what you have heard. You know, I think sometimes we make church and make being a believer too complicated. When the simple call of God on each of our lives as a believer is that we would go and we would make disciples, we would tell people about Jesus, see them come to faith in him, and that we would walk with them as they grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what our call, that is what our mission, that is what Jesus left for his disciples, for us, when he left this planet. And so the simple truth of our call in our life, regardless of what we do vocationally, every single one of us is a missionary every single place we go. Have you ever met a missionary? Met someone who has left everything that they have, has learned a new language, has moved across to another place, and they begin to share the gospel and build relationships, and people come to faith in Christ. They begin to witness God move in powerful and miraculous ways. And we look at missionaries and we realize very quickly that God has called them to that, that that's what God wants them to do. But I want you to take just a moment and I want you to think about it in a little bit different way, because as we've seen in the text this morning, God has called every single believer who has experienced the grace and the salvation offered through Jesus Christ, every single one of us is called to be a missionary wherever we go. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law served with the International Mission Board in Istanbul, Turkey for 3 years, and we were able to see kind of a front row seat of what it took for them to actually get on the mission field. And we realized that they had to go, and they had to go through particular trainings. And when they first got there, they had to go through language school and begin to learn the Turkish language. And we realized very quickly it's difficult when you try to make that transition from being an American and to going into another country and learning their language and learning their customs and learning what to say and what not to say and how to impact and how to make relationships and how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing that I don't know that I realized until I began thinking about it as it relates to every single believer. You don't have to learn a new language to tell your coworker about Jesus. Isn't that interesting? In fact, you don't have to move anywhere to tell your neighbor about Jesus. You don't have to sell everything that you have and load up on a plane and fly thousands of miles away to tell someone about Jesus. I've said this to you before. God has put you exactly where he wants you to use you for his glory. And what's that mission? What's that call? What's that responsibility? It's that we are to share what God has done in our life with people who don't know him, praying all the while that he will change their lives and that they will come to know him as their Lord and Savior. As we see what Jesus has told his disciples here, there are three truths I want us to think about as we think about that in relation to North River Church, as we think about it in relation to this community in which we live, as we think about it in relationship to our home, as we think about it in relationship to our workplace. I want us to look first at this reality. We go because He came. We go and share what God's done in our lives because He came. I want to tell you something that I've learned in the last couple of years that for me, I believe, was a turning point in understanding what it meant to live as a Christian in this world. One of the things that struck me that I don't know that I ever realized it, I don't know that I ever truly understood it at all. Everything we do in the Christian life is a response to what God has already done. Let me say that again. Everything we do in the Christian life is a response to what God has already done. Some of y'all are having blank stares right now. You're thinking, I'm not sure I understand where you're going with this. I didn't understand it either until I started realizing. God is always the great initiator for us. And His call in our lives is simply to respond to Him. God is the great initiator. God is the one who first loved us. So when we love, we're not initiating that. We are simply responding to the fact that He loves us. God offers to us through His Son Jesus salvation. We don't initiate that. God initiated that by sending us His Son. We simply respond to salvation offered through Jesus. When we worship and we come together and we sing, we're not initiating worship to the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us that He's already getting all the worship that He could ever imagine from the stars and the trees and the rocks, because they are crying out constantly how great God is. But He has revealed Himself to us in His Word and says, this is what I'm like and this is who I am. And in that initiation gives us the chance as His creation to respond to Him in worship. We think about the act of giving. We think about the act of giving. You think, well, I initiate that. No. God first demonstrated His love to us in that He gave us His Son, Jesus. When we give back to the Lord, we are not initiating anything. We are simply responding to what He initiated. I think it may help us in the Christian life to realize that we don't have to initiate. I think some of us are entirely exhausted in the Christian life because we feel like we have to initiate it with God, when in fact, God has already initiated the relationship by sending us His Son. And He simply invites us to respond to Him. We go and share what Christ has done in our lives because He first came. Realize that none of us would have experienced salvation apart from Jesus stepping foot out of heaven, stepping foot on this planet, and laying down His life so that we would experience salvation that His death on the cross provides. We realize in that that how in the world could we keep that a secret? How in the world, as we interact with those around us, as we interact with our coworkers and our, let's just be honest, crazy neighbors, how do we not tell them what God has done in our lives? How can we not share with our kids what Christ has done in us? How can we not share with our family what God has done in our lives? How can we not share with our coworkers? How can we not share with our neighbors? How could we not share what Christ has done in our lives? Let's just pause for a second and let me ask you this. How many of you have ever dreamed, you've seen the videos, have ever dreamed about Publishers Clearing House being on your doorstep? Just be honest, right? Raise your hand. It's all right. We won't judge. No judgment zone, right? Now, let me just say, if you won $5,000 a week for life from Publishers Clearing House, how many of you would just keep that a secret? Some of you are thinking, well, somebody may try to take me out, right? We wouldn't keep it a secret. In fact, you would tweet that, wouldn't you? Hashtag blessed, right? Hashtag God's favor, right? You'd want somebody to know. You'd want somebody to know, I've got $5,000 a week coming for life. And yet we've been given the greatest gift that any of us could ever imagine in salvation through Jesus. And sometimes it's hard to even let anybody know. But listen, church, our call as believers is to go because Jesus first came. It's simply a response to what he initiated. Listen to me. There are people that you work with. There are people that you go to school with. There are people that you live next door to. There are people that you shop with at the grocery store that need to know what Christ has done in your life. And so we go. And we share because he came. Imagine if Jesus said, you know, I'm not really feeling it today. His father says, I want you to go and lay your life down. And he says, yeah, I'm just not sure about that. No, he willingly came and he willingly endured at the hands of sinful men persecution so that he could offer to us salvation. As a free gift that we receive. But yet the only thing that he says to us is, go and tell people what I've done in your life. We go because he came. Here's the second truth. We go because he commanded. As we look through the text this morning, as we look at Jesus at the end of what was his earthly life at this point before he ascended into heaven, Jesus didn't give his disciples a suggestion. This is not what we read. It's called the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. Jesus is not saying, hey, if you guys feel like it, why don't you tell some people who I am? In fact, Jesus commanded his disciples that they were to go and make other disciples. Which, fast forward to us today, there's no option if we're going to be obedient to what Christ has called us to do to remain silent about what he's done in our lives. It's impossible for us to remain obedient to him in what he's commanded us to do without sharing what he's done in our lives. Just ask a simple question this morning. Would you say that you've been obedient to Jesus' command? When's the last time you talked to your crazy neighbor next door about what Christ has done in your life? When's the last time you talked to that coworker that you know their life is in absolute shambles? And you know, deep down inside, you know the only hope they have is to meet Jesus. He's the only one that could put that back together. Have you shared with them? Have you walked down the hallway into your kids' bedrooms and shared with them what Christ has done in your life? See, the reality is for us as believers, our greatest mission field and the place we should fulfill the Great Commission of going and sharing the gospel first and foremost is in our home. We've got 150 plus kids here at North River Church. Let me pause there and say, if you love kids and would like to work with them, we'd love to get you plugged in. We've got a ton of kids, though. And parents, let me say this to you. Your greatest mission field that the Lord has placed in front of you are the kids that stare at the back of your head riding down the road. We're called to go. We're called to share with them. We're called to tell them what Christ has done in our lives. We go because He commanded. Jesus didn't give us a way out. He didn't say, listen, if the timing is right and it works out, then yeah, go ahead and tell somebody about Jesus. Never forget the story of a pastor who's very well known. If I called his name, you would know it. And he met Jesus his senior year in high school. And he was sharing his story about what God had done in his life. And he said there was a guy who came up to him at the end of football practice one day. And he looked at him and he said, hey man, I need to tell you about Jesus. When do you want to do that? He said, I was taken aback a little bit. And I thought, okay, that was a little strange. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, I'm a Christian. Jesus has changed my life, and I need to tell you about that. He said, so we can do it right now. We can go get coffee. We can have dinner or what? Jesus, I'm going to tell you about him. When do you want to do it? Realized that his life was transformed because someone told him about Jesus. See, the reality for us, church, is that the growth that we are experiencing, and I believe the growth that we will continue to experience here at North River Church, will be directly tied to our faithfulness to go into our workplaces, to go into our community, to go into our schools, and tell people about Jesus. You have a story, if you are a believer here this morning, of what God has done in your life. Some of you look back and you say, gosh, man, I wish I had that testimony of, you know, I was a drug addict and I was strung out and Jesus saved my life and it was amazing. But if you're like me, you've got the story of the only drug problem that you had is that your parents drug you to church every single time the doors were open. That's what my life was like. Every time the doors were open, and even when they weren't, my dad had a key, and we went. But I met Jesus as an 8-year-old little boy, and he changed my life. You say, gosh, there's not a whole lot you can change in an 8-year-old's life. No, here's what I know, that as an 8-year-old, I was infected with sin. And it didn't demonstrate itself in some crazy ways, but I can promise you this, there was nothing redeemable about me apart from who Jesus is. And as an 8-year-old little boy sitting with my pastor, prayed to receive Jesus Christ, and he's changed my life. What's your story? Do you have a story of how Jesus changed your life? Because the truth is, if you have a story, then all you have to do is tell your story. See, sometimes we make sharing with people so complicated. We think sharing with someone else what Jesus has done, they may ask me a question I don't have the answer to. That's why they made Google, right? Just Google it. Or just say, I don't have the answer. And call me. Send me an email. Carrier pigeon. Whatever you need to do to get the answer. But I can promise you this. You begin to build relationships with people and you begin to share with them what Christ has done in your life. You know what's going to end up happening? You're going to see people come to meet Jesus because of your story. You're going to see people come to meet Jesus because they realize that Jesus has changed your life. We go because He commanded. Here's the third truth. One that we see in all of those verses that we talked about. We go because He's coming again. We go because He came. We go because He commanded. But Here's the one that I hope will drive it home for you even more so. We go, we share, because Jesus is coming again. Church, there is an urgency in the mission that Jesus gave us. People will die and spend eternity separated from Him in a place called hell if they don't surrender their lives to Him. This is not games. This is not something to play with. You say, I'm scared to share with somebody. Are you more scared that they'd spend eternity separated from Christ in hell? See, the reality is Jesus is coming again. And the mission that He gave His disciples then and the mission that He gives us today is that this is an urgent mission that must be taken seriously. We got to realize, church, that we are living in a culture that oftentimes has no desire to hear what God has to say. But I can promise you this, people still need Jesus. People still need to hear what He can do in their lives. People still need salvation that only His death on the cross and His resurrection can offer them. We go because Jesus is coming again. There's a video, you can look it up on YouTube, but have you heard of the magicians that are out in Vegas, Penn and Teller, there we go. Penn Jillette's the guy's name, one of them, and there's a YouTube video, you can go look it up, about him talking about a guy who stopped by one day and gave him a Bible at the end of their show. And he said, now, granted, I'm an atheist, don't believe any of this. And he said, but this guy was standing there, and he had been a part of the show, and he said he had a Gideon New Testament, and he said he handed it to me at the end of the show and just shared with me the gospel. And he said, now granted, I'm an atheist and that kind of thing. He said, but here's the thing. Here's what struck me, and here's what he's always said. For us as believers, he said, Christians, how could you not? If you really, really believed that people will die and spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell unless they receive Jesus as their Savior, how much do you have to hate someone not to tell them that? He said, I completely respected this guy because he truly believed what he was telling me. Church, that's the question that sits at our doorstep. How much do we have to hate our neighbor? How much do we have to hate our coworker? How much do we have to hate those in our community that if we know, in church, we know that we have the answer to eternal life through Jesus Christ. We know that. How much do we have to hate them not to tell them? I'm going to be honest, church, that struck me. Think about how many times that sitting in a restaurant and strike up a conversation and never get there. How many times we've conversed with our neighbors and not shared with them the gospel of what Christ has done in our lives and what He can do in their lives. And realize quickly, it is an urgent mission that Jesus has put us on. He has called each and every single one of us who have experienced His marvelous grace to share what He's done in our lives with everyone else. And listen to me, don't delay, don't wait. The mission is urgent. He is coming again. You see, the reality is when we realize that and when we take that to heart and when we truly believe that people separated from Him will spend eternity in hell, and we truly believe that Jesus is good on His promises and that He's coming again, how much do we have to hate someone not to tell them about Jesus? We're called to go. We're called to share. We're called to love our neighbors. We're called to love our coworkers. We're called to love our kids. We're called to share with all of them what Christ has done in our lives. And I can promise you this, church, when we take that seriously, God will bless our efforts. When we take that seriously, God will begin to work in our community in such a way that people are going to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. Your friends and your coworkers, your neighbors, they're going to know who Jesus is, and they're going to respond to Him in faith. But the question before us is, will we go? I want to ask you if you will bow your heads with me this morning and close your eyes, and I want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord and His Word. I want to begin with this question this morning. Very simple one. And if you just imagine with me that there's a circle drawn around you and the chair that you're sitting in, and nobody else is in the room. And it's just you before the Lord. Have you received salvation through Jesus? I don't want to take that for granted this morning. In a room this size, there are those here that have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I want to invite you this morning. I want to beg with you this morning. Let today be the day of salvation for you. Will you respond to the salvation that Jesus and His death and resurrection offers you this morning? For those of you who are believers here this morning, and I want to challenge you with a couple of things. Who in your sphere of influence, where you work, where you go to school, where you live, who do you know that doesn't know Jesus? Who this week will you commit, if nothing else, to share your story with them? My prayer this morning is that there are hundreds of names that are rolling across the heads in this room of people that we know, coworkers and friends and family members and neighbors, and that we know don't know Jesus. And the very real possibility is they won't unless we tell them. And I want to challenge you this morning to walk across the street, to go to their cubicle, to walk by their locker, to knock on their door, to commit to share with them what Christ has done in your life. I want to challenge you this morning to take captive the opportunities, and the Lord gives them to us every single day. People that we cross paths with, to take every opportunity to share with them what Christ has done in your life. That you'd wake up in the morning and your prayer to the Lord would be, God, put somebody in my path today and make it so obvious that I just can't miss it. And give me the courage and the faith to share with them what you've done in my life. Father, this morning we come to you, and first of all, we thank you for salvation that's made available through Jesus. Father, we thank you that those of us in this room that have received that salvation, we have a story of what you've done in our lives. We thank you that when we were dead in our sin, that you rescued us and breathed new life into us. Father, I pray that if there's one here that has not experienced that this morning, Lord, that today would be the day for them. That they would have the courage and during this time of invitation to walk to the back and to grab my hand or someone's hand back there and say, I need to know Jesus. Father, that you would give us the courage as your people to be about your mission. Lord, that we would take it seriously, that we would realize its urgency. And Lord, we'd see the fruit of you working in people's lives. Lord, we ask this all.